In chapter 4, which ties with the book of Numbers, in verse, you notice chapter 4 is such a beautiful chapter of Isaiah. Talk about Jesus being the branch. But do you know the focus in verse 5 and 6 of chapter 4, the book of Isaiah? Then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and a shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a covering and there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge and for a shelter from storm and night. So you can see the progression. In Genesis, God gave the covenant. In Exodus, God gave the law. In Leviticus, they made, in that one year, they established the workings of the tabernacle. And I didn't give you a scripture in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. Leviticus 11. God says, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourself with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Verse 47. "To distinguish between the unclean and the clean, and between the animal that may be eaten and the animal that may not be eaten." Now this is part of the laws that God gave them, and they all have a special meaning in themselves. But all these things that God gave to them is that they may be well, that it may be well with them. God wish good intentions for them, and not to make their life miserable, but that the blessings would come upon them and flow upon them. Now in chapter, after the book of Leviticus, and that's where it synchronized, Leviticus 11:44 synchronized with Isaiah chapter 3 verse 10, where God is showing holiness and wickedness, and God is showing the difference between holiness and areas of sin. So He makes a difference between the two. Then in the book of Numbers, you notice that it synchronizes in chapter 9 with Isaiah 4, Numbers 9 with Isaiah 4. They both go together because in Numbers chapter 9, it is in verse 15 that the book of Numbers is the practical outworking of what that tabernacle is all about. See, the book of Numbers is a story and a record that takes place, that sort of itemizes all those things that took place, the key points of 40 years. 40 years. Leviticus is only 1 month in chronological terms and period. Numbers covers a period of 40 years. It covers the practical working of having the cloud be over them, shade from the sun in the daytime and a fire by night in a cold. And that is mentioned in Numbers 9, verse 15. On the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, from evening until morning. It was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always, the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle after the children of Israel would journey, and in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch. So it talks about that marvelous cloud that was upon them all throughout the book of Numbers. Now, when you read a book of Numbers, you can be so caught up by the complaining, the murmuring that happened in chapter 11, the people who died in the plague, the earthquake that came and swallowed up Korah and his tent, and all these things. You can be so caught up with all those things that are on record that you forgot that throughout the entire time, the story is the story of the cloud and the fire. How the cloud and fire preserve them all the time. And when the cloud was withdrawn, then the problems came.
And when the problems came, sometimes God has to come as a cloud to separate between the people. And when Moses was about to be stoned, God appeared on the scene in a cloud. And we can forget that all the whole story of Numbers is about that cloud of glory that was operating all the time. Let me just point to a few places in the book of Numbers here. In Numbers chapter, looking over here, Numbers chapter 12, verse 5. See, we can miss all these important things to God, but we can get so caught up in all the misery of Numbers and all the complaints that were there. And we forgot small factors like in verse 5. While Moses and Miriam and Aaron were having a sort of argument, or rather Aaron and Miriam were having an argument against Moses. Look at verse 5. The Lord came down in the pillar of cloud. So you can imagine, as they're quarreling, and Aaron say, "No, don't you think you're the only prophet?" And so and so. And suddenly this cloud came. See, we can forget all these things because we concentrate on all the other parts. And what about other points in the book of Numbers, where in chapter 14, I'm just showing a few places. When the people were going to rebel in verse 10, Numbers 14 verse 10, and all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now, the people were going to stone Moses and Aaron. They have already picked up the stones. And as they were about to throw the stone, suddenly same thing. The cloud came. We can forget all these things as we read the book of Numbers, but Isaiah is a focus from God's perspective to tell us that it's a mini Bible. So when you study the book of Isaiah in each chapter, it's good to refer back and forth to all those places that it synchronizes with. That's the key to studying Isaiah. And Isaiah 4 is telling us in verse 5 that the whole gist of Numbers is that the Lord's dwelling place is a cloud and smoke and a flaming fire by night. And to learn to recognize that presence. It tells us what it can do. With that knowledge, you go back to study Leviticus, it will be tremendous. Because now you begin to see what a smoke of glory and pillar of cloud can do. Pillar of fire can do. It can protect you. It can separate you. It can bring blessings. It's a covering. Many things are involved in that pillar of cloud, which Isaiah points to. This is like a mini Bible. And Isaiah chapter 5, which synchronizes with Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is basically a recap by Moses. And in that recap, the main focus, not to forget, the main focus is that Moses sang a solo. See, we get caught up in Deuteronomy and all these laws, command, laws of principles, of these principles, and that laws. And we forget that the highlight of Deuteronomy was good old Moses singing a solo. Original composition. In the book of Deuteronomy, the same Moses who said that he was... He could not have spoken because he was slow of tongue and speech. Same Moses in chapter 31 of Deuteronomy. And it says here in verse 30, then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. The highlight after all his speech. You see, Moses, the whole book of Deuteronomy was Moses' speech. He recapped from Deuteronomy 1. He talked about, you all remember these things. You all remember we went round and round all these places and all these commandments. God has given everything. And everyone is waiting, listening to Moses talking about history. Finally, the highlight was Moses was going to sing that song. If you were there, the only thing new was the song. And there was a new song. And that was one of the most important songs in Deuteronomy, which we didn't manage to focus on when we did the teaching on that book in Deuteronomy 32. You notice that it summarized literally everything. And some of the keys to how God dealt with the people of Israel are found in that song. As an eagle stirs up the nest, says in verse 11, so the Lord stirs the people up and carries them. All these keys are the spiritual keys in that song. And which chapter 5 of Isaiah speaks to us. In verse 1, it says, now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. You see, chapter 5, the key was the song. So you have in Isaiah, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then suddenly, in chapter 6 of Isaiah, you have the book of Joshua. See, in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah had a second vision of the Lord. He has already been in a ministry for some time. He was at the beginning of his ministry. If you look carefully at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1, Isaiah functioned under four kings: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. If you remember King Uzziah in the book of Kings, King Uzziah is among the good kings. And King Uzziah started well. There was some minor revival that was on in his kingdom. But when the revival was on the way, King Uzziah became proud in his heart and he tried to take the censer. If you remember the story in Kings, we'll just recap. And he came to the temple and he saw the censers, and he, as a king, he was not supposed to do it. It's only the work of a priest. And he tried to grab it from the priest, and the priest said, no, this is not for you. He pushed them aside probably. He grabbed the censer and started waving the censer. As he waved the censer in the book of Kings, we are told that suddenly he was struck with leprosy. And until his dying day, he was a leper and he died a leper. Young Isaiah was just starting his ministry. I sympathize with people who have just gone into the ministry the past 1 or 2 years. There they are, just about to go into ministry. I mean, some of the young people gone to Bible school. They are on fire for God. Bless God, they want to be tele-evangelists. They want to reach the world through radio, through TV, through tapes, through everything under the sun, through satellite. Suddenly, they just moved into the ministry, accepted God's call, resigned their job, went for training. As they went for training, they hear all the news. King Uzziah died. For us, you know, tele-evangelists falling all over the place. One fall here, one fall there, left, right, center, like durians. And they didn't just fall on the grass, they fell on people and it hurts. It fell on us. We, the body of Christ, get affected. All over the world, it affects the body of Christ. And these young people are like young Isaiah. Just started in the ministry, fresh on fire. Then bang, here comes Isaiah, got leprosy. Think about the impact. It must have made him turn to the Lord more in prayer. And let that be a lesson to us. When these things happen, let us draw deeper into the prayer closet. Let's not join those people on the ringside to Jesus.